The West Live.
The West Live.
With Jenna Clark.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
I love that banger of a song. And joining me this morning is two of my favourite non-caped crime crusaders, Chief Reporter from the West Australian, Ben Harvey, and also Sergeant Mick Slaughter from Crime Stoppers. Good morning, fellas.
Good morning, Jenna.
How's things in crime world?
Oh, it's always busy. Always busy.
Now, I have a question. Are you two mammals?
Middle-aged men in Lycra?
Yeah.
No. If I wore Lycra, it would be the world's worst, most distressing topographical map. With ravines and crevices and, oh, my God.
It'd be even worse than him.
No, not at all.
I blame it on our COVID weight gain. Seriously. If I stand in the shower at the moment, watching the water cascade over my guts is like, it's like Carrageenie in the first wet.
We've all now got a visual.
I don't think Paul Papperley would appreciate that wander out yonder hashtag at all. But, well, interestingly, I have a lot of mates who are very big mammals and they spend a lot of money on those bikes, and that's why I guess a lot of them go missing. So what's going on with helping retain those assets?
Yes, well, BikeLink has been started up by Crime Stoppers WA.
Mm-hmm.
It's BikeLink, BikeLinc.
Ah.
So it's not, hasn't got the K on the end. It's a community solution to a community problem. So it's a community who register their bikes on a website that is totally free.
Uh-huh.
And they register your serial number, your name, your contact details. And what happens is if your bike gets stolen, you can update the status of your bike to say stolen or lost or whatever the case is. And means that if I find someone's bike and I type in the serial number, it comes up as to that this bike is stolen. I can send an email via the website to the owner of the bike and hopefully return it, even without police being involved. So police have access to the website. Mm-hmm. It's powered by Crime Stoppers WA, which is a trusted source of with information. For over 25 years, and we can have a look at those details and return the bike through WA Police. There's only about 10 or 20 police officers in WA who have access to that, so it's a very very trusted platform.
Yeah.
And we'll get back in touch with the owner of the bike and hand it back to them.
So it takes about 5 minutes to actually fill out, is that right?
Absolutely, a very short time. And as I said, it's only the serial number that's required and your details and the type of bike. You can upload photos and do all sorts of things on the platform.
So this really was started handy. Because stolen bikes is a massive, massive problem for the coppers. And we're looking at literally thousands and thousands and thousands of bikes a year are handed into police. Mick, tell us about the scale of the issue.
Yeah, well, approximately 9,000 bikes per year are stolen in WA, and quite a few of them end up in police station. Now, having been an officer in charge of a police station many years ago, and every time we have to do a check of the property, the bikes take up so much space. Like, I'm talking about a whole shed, chock-a-block, top and bottom, not just on the ground. And it takes time to look through those and look for the serial number, because I don't know if any of us here have bikes that the serial number on one bike is on the seat support, another one on the frame, etc. So we're quite often going around at night time with a torch trying to find these serial numbers, which takes so much time. And after 3 months, if those bikes haven't been claimed by anyone, they can get auctioned off.
Right.
Depending on the condition of them, they can also be destroyed. So that's a call in relation to...
Jenna, do you ride a bike?
Guys, I've got a really bad story. I used to ride a bike.
Yes.
And then I had an incident with a curb about 2 years ago. And I...
Was it a frontal collision?
Yeah, it was a frontal...
It was a glancing blow.
Look, there was a broken jaw, there were 7 stitches and a lot of dental bills later, and I'm yet to get back on the bike.
Wow.
I don't blame you.
Holy moly.
It's only because I'm a... doofus. But I do miss riding. I think it's a lovely pastime. But sure. I ride
occasionally with a family, but that is not a relaxing kind of experience. It involves me yelling a lot at a 5-year-old to stay on the left. Borderline child abuse sort of scenario most of the time.
I find the when you are out and about really early, seeing a lot of the mammals or the female mammal version out and about when they're riding three abreast is quite confronting because they're very intense individuals.
Oh, my God, they're so serious about it. And they're very fast. This is the thing that I don't understand. The number of times I've been riding and some guy will go past me looking like he's not even breaking a sweat and he's like 80 years old and he's outpacing me 2-1, whereas I'm looking like a, you know, pregnant orangutan who's having a bronchitic fit down Riverside Drive or whatever, sounding like a freight train, going 12 miles an hour, yelling. Anyway, well, the reason we're talking about BikeLink today, apart from the fact that it's a wonderful platform and everyone should register their bike post-haste at bikelink.com.au, and as Mick said, don't forget that BikeLink has got a C on the end, not a K. We do have a stolen bike as one of our crimes of the week that we need to solve, Mick.
Yes, we sure do. At around 7 p.m. on Monday the 29th of June, a man gained entry to a car park of an apartment complex on Bronte Avenue in East Perth. He grabbed a bicycle that was in a car space. Now, in a secure underground car park, it's hard to know what to do with a bike in terms of where you put it.
What should you do with it?
Well, it needs to be secured to something, like a bike carrier attached to a car or some sort of frame with a lock. We recommend D-locks, which are the most secure bicycle lock that you can get.
Yep.
At the moment, you can spend a lot of money on them. Mm-hmm. But even just the D-lock has a security feature that means it's very hard to cut through. You can't really use crimps and things like that. So the same man came back at 6:45 p.m. the following day, and he approached a bicycle that was parked with a vehicle and it was secured with the D-lock. And in the process of trying to steal the bike, he's damaged the bike. So he gave up, which is good, but unfortunately the bike was left damaged, but it shows the importance of securing it.
For sure.
So we've released CCTV images of two men who were involved in these incidents. The first man is described about 30 years of age, thin build and dark short hair, and the second man is described as thin build, blonde hair, with wearing dark clothing and a dark-coloured baseball cap. So those images are on the Crime Stoppers website, and we're very keen to identify who these are because there have been a bit of a series of incidents in that area, and taking bikes from
it's
someone else's area.
Crime.
Yes. Well, it is.
It is. But people spend a lot of money on those bikes.
They can be extremely expensive.
$14,000 is one of the bikes that was registered and returned, I believe, on BikeLink.
Wow.
So someone spent 5 minutes registering a $14,000 bike and then got it back.
Yep.
Also, got an insurance payment.
Can I just clarify, my bike wasn't $14,000. It was like a $75 Treadley.
I don't think it's
probably the bike's fault.
Exactly. A $14,000 bike is just, I've never spent $14,000 on a car. So I can't imagine spending $14,000 on a bike.
I think I've done it on a car, but definitely not a bike.
We've got a couple of other crimes. Now, this is an interesting couple. They involve people who have found money. Now, when you find money, most people will go, that's good, put it in the pocket.
No.
And, well, most people that are me would do that. Mick has told me that it's actually a crime and it's called theft by finding. Is that right? Did I make
that
up?
No,
it is. Theft by finding is part of our criminal code, Mick.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, the whole basis is if you find something, whether it be cash or anything else for that matter, you need to make reasonable inquiries to find out who the owner is. You can't just say, oh, I found it, it's mine. It doesn't quite work like that.
I can see you, Ben Harvey, standing on some street corner, being like Michael Scott in The Office going, I declare I found $50, and then no one answers and then pockets it.
Need to do a little bit more than that. We would recommend if you find anything, ask around the area. Don't have to disclose exactly what you found, but say, has anyone lost anything? That's a reasonable effort.
Okay.
And then, I'm going to drill down into detail here. So I find $100. On the side, actually, I'll give you a really good example. I did find $100, and it was in a dealer bag, and it was up near Serpentine Falls, so it was drug money, and I got to admit, I pocketed it. And you know what? I went to the Swan Valley. I went to the Swan Valley Chocolate Company, and we bought about six of those massive freckles. You know the big chocolate freckles.
How much are they? $18.
It's ridiculous.
Each.
Yeah, honestly.
It's a lot of chocolate. A
thousand of those you could buy a bike. So you wouldn't be expecting me to ring you and say, Mick, I found $100, obviously.
Well, the worst thing that could happen to you finding $100, whether it be in a deal bag or anything else, is that after 3 months, if we can't locate the owner, you'll get that money back.
I need the money now, Mick.
You need the freckles
3 months. I might not be solvent in 3 months. Now, the reason we're talking about this is because we've got two crimes about people who have found stuff. One was a wallet and one was a wad of cash. Let's look at the wallet, the lost wallet in wrong hands crime first, Mick.
Yeah, but about 12:30 p.m. on Saturday the 27th of June, a man was inside a supermarket off Huntingdale Road in Huntingdale with his three kids in tow. Now, Ben, you've got three kids, haven't you?
Two.
I've got three. So I can really appreciate what this guy who lost his wallet was doing, because he's trying to usher three kids through the supermarket. He's paid for his items and left his wallet on the counter. Now, that happens.
Should have just bought the time out.
Exactly. True. So he's hopped back in the car and gone, oh, my wallet, where is it? And he's gone back and it's gone.
Oh, yeah.
So the store manager had a look through the CCTV. And he's seen a guy pick it up and walk out with it. So we've released an image of the guy. Pretty distinctive, I would have said. 35 to 40 years of age, black short hair and facial hair. He's wearing a black singlet, dark blue tracksuit and blue shoes. But he's a little bit built up. Looks like he goes to the gym maybe a little bit. And got him on CCTV pocketing that wallet now.
Anyone that wears a black singlet and a dark blue tracksuit has committed a crime somewhere.
Blue shoes.
Fashion crime, that's for sure.
Yeah. Very true.
So that's that one. Then we've also got the cash on the roll story, and this is in Silver Sands. Is that right, down in Mandra?
Yep, about 11:15 a.m. on Saturday the 20th of June, a man dropped that roll of cash in a supermarket once again on Mandra Terrace in Silver Sands, as Ben said. A short time later, a woman picked up the cash and continued walking, and she made no attempt to look around or find the owner. So we've released an image of that woman, and she's quite distinctive because she's got a tattoo on her right calf. So we've got an image of her as well as the tattoo. She's described as being light-skinned, about 25 years of age, medium build and dark hair. Just wearing a jacket and blue jeans at the time. So once again, an incident of stealing by finding, and we'd be keen to identify who that person is.
Is the tattoo her star sign?
I can't tell, to be honest with you. We only got a little corner of it.
Southern Cross, I reckon.
Stop it.
Seriously, there's got to be a threshold. I mean, this woman, I don't know how much money this woman in Mandra has picked up. Bearing in mind that 10 bucks in Mandra is worth 100 bucks everywhere else.
Don't be rude. Good morning to the good folk of Mandra.
So, I don't know. Like, if I saw 20 bucks on the ground in Coles, I wouldn't. I'd pocket it.
Well, that happened to me and my daughter a couple of years ago. She found $20 on the ground.
Uh-huh.
And I did the right thing and took her to the shop attendant and said, we've found $20 on the ground, handed it to her, and that was the last I heard of it. So
there you go. The shop attendant.
You try and do the right thing.
That's the worst story ever, Mick.
I am sure that the right person came along and said, look, I dropped $20 over there and it was handed back.
Especially in a supermarket, because it could have been, say, a pensioner or a poor father with three kids in tow. The kids are going feral, going, that's I me. Dropped all of my stuff.
Yes. I reckon my threshold would be...
We know what your threshold is.
If I found more than $100...
One and two cent pieces still available.
If I found more than $100 in a business, then I would think about handing it in. 80 bucks, it's mine. So.
Are you going to be walking out of here in handcuffs? No,
I'm worried about that story I said about finding 100 bucks at Seven Don Falls. That was more than 7 years ago, so statute of limitations, I think, kicks in.
It's an indictable offence. There's no statute of limitations for that, Ben.
Well, you can read all about those stories in today's West Australian on the
page
Crime
52.
Stoppers page. Ben Harvey may not be back because he may be fronting court in 2 weeks.
We just need to narrow down the time frame of when it happened.
Yeah.
Former
CCTV.
Chief Reporter Ben Harvey was yesterday forced to issue an apology after admitting to a crime.
So you'll come back tomorrow morning, same time, to issue that apology on the Westline. Fantastic. Sergeant Mick Slaughter, thank you so very much for joining us. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you very much, Jenna.
Thanks, Jenna.